Train to Nowhere, One Woman's War, Ambulance Driver, Reporter, Liberator. Written by Anita Leslie and read by Darren Edwards.
Train to Nowhere. At the station near my Irish home, the porter used to walk up and down the platform shouting, "This train goes nowhere." He meant, of course, all change. And that is the point we seem to have reached today. We are not really going nowhere. We have just got to shoulder our luggage and continue the journey on a new line. Thus far, I have held a first-class ticket. Anita Leslie, Glasloch, County Monaghan, Ireland. Introduction by Penny Perrick. Anita Leslie was not the sort of person usually found on a battlefield. During the first winter of the Second World War, when both her brothers and most of her friends were active in the fight against Hitler, Anita was cubbing in Northamptonshire. She wrote to her friend Rose Berg, "I feel I am helping the war effort by having as pleasant a time as possible, which is just what he, Hitler, doesn't want." Later, from London, she wrote to her mother, Marjorie, in Ireland, "You can't imagine how bored people are with the war here. No one wants to listen to fancy speeches." The fancy speeches were made by Anita's cousin, Winston Churchill, and inspired a nation. What persuaded Anita to volunteer for active service was a need to escape from an exhaustingly tangled personal life, circumstances not referred to in her searing war memoir, Train to Nowhere. She enlisted as a driver in the Mechanised Transport Corps, MTC, a voluntary organisation much favoured by upper-class young women such as Anita, who could afford to pay for their own chic uniform designed by the couturier Hardy Amies. As she sailed to Pretoria on the Arundel Castle through U-boat-infested waters, she revelled in the novelty of freedom, writing to Rose, "Never again am I going to live a dull, domesticated existence. I'm just going to be naughtier and naughtier, hee hee." She may sound shallow, but she came from a class that required its young girls to be light-headed and giddy. "Smile, dear, it costs nothing," Anita's grandmother, Lady Leonie Leslie, often admonished her. Marjorie's advice to her daughter, about to head off to the desert war, was, "Don't get sunburned in Africa. Men hate it." In Cairo, the MTC tended the wounded in intense heat, hot winds, and maddening discomfort, before being incorporated into the Auxiliary Territorial Service, the ATS, when the unit reached Alexandria. Anita, sensing correctly that it would be stuck in Egypt when the war moved elsewhere, manoeuvred herself into more adventurous roles, editing a newspaper, the Eastern Times, joining the Transjordan Frontier Force, where she delivered supplies to isolated field hospitals in Lebanon and Syria with her friend Pamela Wavell, who made these hazardous trips wearing a white dress and picture hat. In 1944, after 3 years in the Middle East, she asked the Red Cross for a transfer to Italy, wanting to be in the fight that lies ahead in Europe. In Naples, feeding the casualties from Anzio and Cassino was like trying to run a canteen in Dante's Inferno. She remarked of the British Tommies, "Somehow it is their humour and courage that no one else seems to have when blown to bits." It was dauntingly rewarding work, but Anita wanted even more involvement. In Train to Nowhere, she wrote, "I had a faint, selfish hope that the war would not end before I had time for some startling achievement." For that hope to be achieved, she had to join the French forces, which, unlike the British Army, allowed women on the front line. And now what might be called Anita's real war, the one that gave her the reputation of une Anglaise formidable, began. On the 15th of August, the day of the Allied landings in southern France, the Red Cross handed Anita over to the French forces. Dossiers were demanded, including a certificate stating that the British government did not mind what was done to me. There were unpleasant clauses about deserters getting shot.